Hey folks, if we haven't met yet, my name is Mike and I'm part of our pastoral team here at Living Waters. Wow, water baptisms. How incredible to hear story and baptisms. And would you believe it, but that water is 6 degrees. One of the boats actually were trolling along and they measured the temperature and boy, that's pretty cold. I believe that's the coldest water baptisms in Living Waters history. Over the many years as we've celebrated water baptisms and stories, there hasn't been one story or baptism that our community hasn't celebrated, hasn't cheered for, hasn't stood and clapped. And I'm pretty sure this year hasn't changed. As you've heard stories from Hannah and Stu, you'll hear in just a few moments from Alan, and next week we'll get to hear from Matt. It caused me to reflect a little bit on my baptism when I was 16 in my hometown of Botwood, Newfoundland. It was an August evening. I had blonde hair that was dyed blonde with beautiful highlights that was just glistening in the sun. It's just beautiful. Our church set up an outdoor service out of preference, not out of necessity. And so we set up on the banks of this popular swimming river, and the crowd was there, the speakers were there. I didn't share my story beforehand, much to my delight, but the moment was so meaningful for me in that moment, and then also in my faith journey beyond that. My dad was one of the pastors, and he got to baptize me, which was so special. As I was reflecting, I was trying to think about what was going through my mind in those moments. Who was I thinking about? What was I remembering and reflecting about my faith journey? See, here at Living Waters, as we've walked with people through conversations and coffees as they've been preparing for water baptisms, as we've sent emails, as we've gone for walks, we love being able to do that. We've gotten a glimpse of what goes through their minds, what they're thinking about as they prepare their stories, some of the nervousness that sets in as they prepare to share that, whether that's on a stage or in front of a camera. We also get to think about what their faith journey has been like, what's their past, their present, and their future. And of course, there's a reflection of how Christ has been a major part of that, their past and their present and their future, how they want to step closer in relationship with Him. But you know what? A lot of times you come to mind for those people. You come to mind for those people. You see, community plays a significant role in someone's faith journey. It's not done alone. People like you come to mind. People who have come alongside them, who have pointed them to Jesus. You're people who prepare the way as others walk on their faith journey. Maybe you're reflecting on your own faith journey, wherever you are on that. Maybe you're thinking of people who are pointing you along that way towards Jesus. You see, this isn't new throughout Scripture, people pointing towards Jesus. Paul in 1 Corinthians, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Pattern your lives after mine. Even Jesus himself in Matthew shares, come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And John the Baptist, who we're going to talk about more. You see, John 1 shares of Jesus and John the Baptist, and this is just prior to Jesus' own water baptism. And the introduction of John the Baptist and Jesus. So Jesus, who is the Word, who existed in the beginning, who everything was made through, and then the person of John the Baptist, who is baptizing people, who is preparing the way for the coming Lord. He is pointing towards the coming Messiah. And so here in this moment, we have crowds gathering along the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River, sometimes we think is this large river, but actually it's quite underwhelming. It's this small river. The bushes are growing right into the river, so there's very little shoreline for people to gather in. But somehow these crowds have found their way to see what was happening. It's not even bigger than the Fraser River. So here we have, imagine yourself in the crowd as we read John 1, 6 to 14. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. Now, John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, is coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not of a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Don't you love that? And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. The next verses tell of how the next day Jesus came to John the Baptist on the edges of the Jordan River and asked to be baptized himself. Now, this confused John, because if he is preparing the way for Jesus, why does he need to baptize the one who he's preparing the way for? But Jesus says, no, you need to baptize me in water. Mark's gospel says this in chapter 1, verse 10. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven saying, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. One of the things I've loved about the past number of months during this pandemic is walking throughout my neighborhood and our strata complex and having to slow down, partially because we have kids who love to play in the playgrounds, but largely because where else are we going to go? But that has caused us to really get to know our neighbors as we can, as we spend more time outside, as we see our neighbors. It's become less of trying to get past them to get somewhere and more of a stop and listen and talk and converse. Stories become shared as you see them more and more. Experiences are shared, and you really get to learn and understand one another. You become more than just a unit number. You become a person. That's what I've really enjoyed. You see, as Dave said earlier, story shapes our lives. It's the sharing of life. It's the sharing of experiences. It's sharing our story. We now know Hannah and Stu differently, and we'll know Alan and Matt differently once you hear their story, because we get to know people once we get to know people. It's how we function as individuals and how we live as people. So we've heard about life becoming new today and how good that is and how that points us to Jesus. Why does that engage us today? Why does that draw us in? It's encouraging when we hear of how Jesus has transformed people's life. It hits close to home. It causes us to reflect on our own story and remember how Jesus has transformed our life. I'm reminded of how God relates to me when I hear how God relates to you. And maybe you would agree. But maybe there is this awkward feeling as well that we need to recognize. that when someone shares their story of the good things God has done in their life, that maybe there's this tingling sense inside of you. Maybe that could be categorized as jealousy, or maybe there could be this feeling of something's not quite finished. Maybe there's this sense of, well, God has done something good in your life, but he hasn't done that in my life yet. Maybe that feeling has been felt in your life today as you've heard stories of good things that God has done. You know, that points to our need for Jesus. That's not a bad thing. That you're not a bad person. That points to our longing need for more of Christ in our life. That seeing answered prayer in someone's life does bring up feelings and emotions in our life when there is unanswered prayer, and our longing and our need for Jesus to meet our need where it's at. This is pointing to our need for Jesus. And this is where story and baptism bring such beauty. Because what we've seen here and heard here today is modeling what Jesus and John the Baptist has done in John 1. Community, stories, and baptisms. You see, John the Baptist was simply a witness pointing to the true light. A lot of times there was the spotlight on John the Baptist himself. Are you the prophet? Are you the Messiah? And he's saying, no, I'm not even worthy to tie, to be a slave or to tie his sandals. I'm not even worthy. He keeps pointing to Jesus, preparing the way for the one who is to prepare the way. He's pointing to the bigger story, the Messiah, the one full of unfailing love and faithfulness, the one who came not just for some, but for all who would receive. John is pointing to our Savior, who doesn't run away from this heaviness that we feel, from this grief, from this pain, and even when it's carried by us, that this idea that our world is not right sometimes, that we're not right sometimes, that we have a need for Jesus to meet. John is pointing to this Savior, that Jesus would come alongside us, come alongside those who need. And just as we pray today, the heavy burden, those who need rest for our souls, Jesus doesn't run away from those who need him. In fact, he draws close. That all who believed and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. That this rebirth, as we've seen in baptisms today, that this new life isn't about what you can gain and grab from this world, but it's instead about what you can give, because that's where you gain the most. John keeps deflecting. So what about us? What about us? Well, this actually is our role and our invitation. We get to keep pointing to Jesus. Because might I say, what exactly John is doing in pointing towards Christ is the invitation for us to keep doing each and every day, to help point people towards Jesus. Whether that's a conversation on the sidewalk, in the driveway, whether that's through Zoom or a phone call or an email. See, this we could be talking about what we're doing each and every day, or how we're loving one another, or how we're simply being followers of Jesus, or simply being a child of Christ. What we get to do each and every day to point people through Jesus, through our life and heart, attitude, our story, and our actions, is the bigger story, is part of the bigger story. And this is where I get it wrong sometimes. and I need to be realigned. And this is, I'm so thankful for stories and baptisms because this helps me realign. This helps me get unstuck. But I get stuck sometimes. Rather than pointing people to Jesus, I get stuck. And we can't get stuck at this, folks. We can't get stuck. Where do we get stuck? We get stuck when we're too busy pointing at people in judgment and condemnation that we can't be alongside them, pointing them to Jesus. We get stuck when we're too busy pointing at them that we can't come alongside them and help point them to Jesus. And folks, the minute that we choose to take that seat is the minute that we're taking that seat away from Christ. And that's where we're choosing to push love aside. And I think we're called to love one another. And that has so much substance and realigns us and clicks me back into the right way to approach and to see one another. It helps me click back into the right way to see the person I walk beside, or the one who irritates me, or the one I get frustrated with, or the one I start to judge as, no, how do I approach in love? And how do we best do this? Well, how did Jesus approach people? Hearing each other's story reminds us that everyone has a story. Experiencing each other's faith journey reminds us that everyone has a faith journey all along the journey in different places and at different stages. And seeing someone take that step of new life with Christ reminds us that there's an invitation for everyone into new life with Christ. Others have been pointed to Christ, and so have we, and so do we get to participate in pointing people to Jesus. This is the invitation to the bigger story, and we get to discover more and more of the loving character of Christ through story. So on a day where we celebrate new life and stories and faith journeys, how does that open your eyes to the life and journeys that are around you? What stories might you need to share? And what stories might you simply need to listen to? How might you come alongside people and help point them to Jesus? And how do we hold back or realign rather than pointing at them, that we come alongside and point them towards Jesus? Allow this to enliven your love, your joy. Allow this to bring you in this beautiful place of relationship with God, relationship with others, and boy, beautiful things come out of that. So let's join in on this invitation together.